You know, we get the wrong concept sometimes. Without the proper leadership, we can't make the right decision. I remember hearing a voice last night or today, I don't know when it was, I was praying, and I heard a voice, and I heard the voice say, beyond this point, there is no light. There is a certain place that you can reach, a certain point that you come to. You've heard it referred to as the point of no return. Traveling by air or by ship, there's a place you call no return, the point of no return. This voice said, beyond this point, there is no light. And I perceive that what the Lord was saying, that once we come to the knowledge of the truth, come to thoroughly understand the requirements of godliness, then if we back off from that, beyond that point, there is no light. Once you come to the knowledge of God, there's no light beyond that point. So then, what we need to do is be ever so careful. See, God is no respect of person. He'll do for you what he will for me, or he loves one just as good as he does another. He doesn't have any respect of person. When it comes to generation of people or nationality of people, age of people, God doesn't have any respect of person. He just judges you according to the knowledge that you have acquired or the understanding that you've come to. So, we should be very diligent and very careful. As we come to know, then we should perform, or we should make a special effort to clear or cleanse our life according to what we know. God doesn't have any respect to poor or to rich, because God has people that he's made rich down through the years. As a matter of fact, Solomon had more gold, so far as we can learn, than all of the United States put together. Took in more every day, Jim. So in his kingdom, he had more wealth, just as God's leader and God's people, than all of America. He could have paid off the national indebtedness today because he listened to God. Now, in his old age, he fell away because he didn't listen to God. His empire, his kingdom was taken away from him, just as America's is going to be. But the Lord's no respect of person. If a man is a doctor, dentist, lawyer, if a man is a professional man, businessman, whatever, he has just as much chance to be saved as any. We've got professional friends that love the Lord. I know for truth they love the Lord. I've talked to them. He has one requirement. He doesn't care what church you're affiliated with, but he has one requirement. If you belong to the Catholic Church, if you belong to the Baptist Church, if you belong to the Methodist Church, if you belong to the Church of Christ or the Mormon Church, the Episcopal Church or the Church of Science, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ or the Church of God or the Assemblies of God, he doesn't care what it is, whether it's the Episcopal or Little Bethlehem, non-denominational, whatever. He has one standard of living, that is holiness. It's either holiness or hell. If you intend to go to heaven, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and you will live holy. The Bible said you'll have your fruits according to holiness and the end thereof eternal life. For God is the Spirit of holiness. Therefore, being the Spirit of holiness, there is no doctrine, there is no preaching, no teaching that he will accept, except that which is born or instigated of his Spirit, which is the Spirit of holiness. When the voice of the prophetical utterance came, just before Calvary and just before Pentecost, when John was born, the spirit of prophecy came. John's father began to prophesy. And the great loving Holy Spirit, the same yesterday, today, and forever, spoke and said that my people are to serve me in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. So then if God Himself set a standard, and He called that standard holiness and righteousness, then every church must conform to it. Every person must conform to it. Every priest, every preacher must conform to it, or die and go to hell, be cast into the lake of fire. Preacher, prophet, priest, whatever. They have one thing, and that's holiness. God's desire is that we all come to the full knowledge of Christ. I want to read just a little bit from chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. Reading chapter 4, first verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the low parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. But you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Wake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right. I wanted to read this. I felt like reading some scripture tonight. And I felt tonight that I was going to take just a minute or two, since it's the children's night, and I've already talked to you a little bit before we got started. But I was going to take just a few minutes and see if you was interested in asking a question or two, and just make conversation with you. You know, preaches, as I say all the time, and he always has things that he'd like to preach on. Here tonight, I've got about, just right offhand, at least 7 or 8 chapters I'd like to preach on tonight. And I got a feeling that probably before I got through all of them, we'd probably lose some of our audience. But I purpose in my heart that tonight, I got up here, I was going to let you ask a question or two. I don't do this too often, but I get letters from overseas and people ask questions because they don't understand. And sometimes we have people here that have questions that they don't understand. And I don't give them a chance a lot of times to ask those questions. But once in a great while I do. And I thought tonight maybe there's something that's troubling you or something that you'd like to try to get an understanding on. People have the strangest concepts of things, and sometimes it's unbelievable, the concepts that they get, even ministers. So, if you've got a question, something on your mind that you would like to ask tonight, then I'm going to give you a chance to ask it. If you'd like to stand up and ask the question, you may. If you'd like to write it, Brother over here, if you've got a question, you can stand up and ask it for the mic. That's a question that's been asked many times down through the years. And there's been a lot of dispute over it. A lot of dispute. The reason there's been a lot of dispute and a lot of questions concerning it is because when you ask concerning this question, you get into what you call doctrine. And most people, they don't care if you preach in their church if you don't preach doctrine. But I believe in doctrine. Because the Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? It said, they that are weaned from the breast. That is, the milk of the word is for children and for babes in Christ. The Bible said to desire the sincere milk of the word, but the meat is for the strong, which is the doctrine. And I believe in doctrine, so then I teach doctrine. When you say one faith, one God, one baptism. First of all, who is the one God? Who is the one God? Now, there's gods many. The Bible tells us that there are gods many. But who is the one God, the true and the living God? There's all kind of gods. But who is the one God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only true and living God. Is that right? There is no other God. The Old Testament, he stood up and spoke to the people. He said, I am God. He said, I am the Lord. And he said, besides me, he said, there is no other God. He said, I know not of any. He said, I am God, and besides me there is no other God. I stretched out the heavens alone. No one helped me, he said. I did it all by myself. There was not a Father, Son, and a Holy Ghost that helped me stretch out the heavens. He said, I am God. Who is my equal? I know not of any. Though there is doctrines, it says there is three gods, and they are co-equal, the Father God, the Son God, and the Holy Ghost God. The Bible says there is one God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Besides him, there is no other God. And though people say that in the beginning that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost come and created heaven and earth and made man in their image, yet God said that in the beginning I was there alone and there was no other God. And I alone stretched out the heavens. He said, I did it by myself. Where is my equal? He said, I know not of any. I am God and I am the Lord. And I am God alone, and there is no other God but me. All right, now, if that be true, if there is no other God but Jesus Christ, then that means that God, the great Heavenly Father, who is a Holy Spirit, I say this again, God, who is a Spirit, who could never have been comprehended in the mind of man, who could have never been known by man, because he is without beginning, he is without end, he hath no boundaries, no measurements, he is above us, he is in us, he is through us, he is from everlasting to everlasting, before the world ever was, he is. God, who had no beginning or end, man could never have been acquainted with him. Man could never have known him. Because man couldn't even comprehend God. But when God the Father, the great light, the great eternal spirit, made himself a human body called Jesus Christ, and God, who in the beginning was the Word, the great spirit, in that Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. God, the spirit of life, when he made himself a human body or come down, and was personified in a human body, or became flesh, or began the tabernacle among man in a human body. At this time, man could see God through a human body. The Bible said God the Father is the great light, unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. No man back through life. Before the world ever was, God could not be seen. No one could see him. Angels could not see him. No man can see God. He is the great light. Never has he been seen. Never can he be seen. In the world to come, no one will ever see God, the Spirit, the great light, the Father of all spirits. Because the Bible said he is the great light unto which no man can approach. It says no man has seen God at any time. No man has seen him, nor can see him. Therefore, Jesus Christ alone, the Son of God, the fleshly image of God, dwells in that light. And we see that great light through Jesus Christ, his expression, his image. For he is the express, which means the given or the projected image of God or godliness. He is the only form of godliness. There is no other form of godliness, no human form of godliness. There is no other form of godliness. Jesus is God personified as a human being. He is God in the flesh. The Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. That is, Jesus was in this world, God. And the Bible said the world was made by him. For I am God, I created the heavens, I am the Lord, I made heaven, I created it, I alone. Where is there another God? I know not of any. I am God, and besides me there is no God, he said. I stretched out the heavens alone, I created heaven. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world was created by him. And he was in the world, and the world knew him not. They never recognized him. God in the world, Jesus. So then the only way that man could comprehend God was to see God in a relative form. They had to see him in a human form. They had to see God as one of themselves. God had to come down out of heaven and become a man. So then to comprehend God, we had to see him as a man. Our minds could not fathom the greatness of God. And he's the great light that we couldn't get near. We couldn't see him. So then, God, who is the great light, become a human being. He become Jesus Christ. We beheld him as the glory of the only begotten, the Son. Thus God the Father and the Son was one and the same. So then God, who had no form, no image, no form whatsoever, no image in the mind of man, he was just above us, in us, and through us, from everlasting to everlasting, said, "You cannot build me a dwelling place. David, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. I fill all of eternity. Who can build me a house?" he said. Therefore, we could not comprehend God. We could not see God. But when God became a human being, since that time we have seen God as Jesus Christ. We have comprehended God, that is man, has comprehended God through the revelational mind of the Son of God that has been instilled within the heart. And even until today, we're still discovering this great God, this great God of mystery, this great God of spirit, this great God is still revelating himself. In a continual thing, he's still revelating himself in his great mysterious form. Well, as the Bible said in the book of Revelation, at the sounding of the last trump, when the angel of the last trump sounds, the mysteries of God will be finished. Now, I see God through the eyes of understanding. I can comprehend God now. So then, who is God? Jesus Christ. How is it then there is a Father? He's the great light. How then is the Father and the Son one? The Spirit was made flesh. Just like your spirit is made flesh. You say, but I'm one, Brother Pike. I'm just a human being. I'm flesh. The Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. And the Bible speaks of the inner man and the outer man, so there must be two of you. Somebody would say, but Jesus Christ was just one. But the Bible says that he made in himself two, or twain. That's why the Bible said that the veil of the temple, him being the temple, was rent in twain or two. The spirit separated from the body. And that he was the temple of the Almighty God. In the fullness of the spirit, God dwelt in him. He was not just a part of God. The Bible said the fullness of all of the spirit of God dwelt in Jesus Christ. And that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That there is no other human form. There is no other body. He is the express image or the given image of the invisible God. Where then does the Holy Ghost come from? If that answers the thing concerning the Father, then what is the Holy Ghost? When Jesus took the human form to Calvary, as I've said in some of my teachings, nailed it to the cross, it was that at that time the little mold of the flesh was open, and out stepped the spiritual personification of the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father, that was like the metal that's in the ground that had no form, gathered himself together as in a mold, as we would say the metallic parts of an automobile melted down, put into a form. When that image of God, the eternal light, was formed to the comprehension of man's understanding and enlightenment, then the mold was open and out stepped God, the Holy Ghost. Now, the thought is, why was he the Holy Spirit before and now he's the Holy Ghost? You say, Brother Pike, isn't he still the Holy Spirit? A lot of times doctors of divinity and people of great brilliance, they get up and they try to impress the people by referring to the Holy Ghost as the Holy Spirit. They feel like there's some kind of prestige in saying he's the Holy Spirit, and that there's something degraded when they say the Holy Ghost. But they're only projecting their ignorance. Because in all reality, God is referred to as the Holy Spirit when he is without personification. But when he is personified in a human body, it becomes a ghost. Because it has a form. And after that, the King James rendering gives it as the Holy Ghost, because he has become a human form. Thus, he doesn't step out as the Holy Spirit, which you don't know anything about and can't comprehend. He steps out of that little mold or that body as a personification. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean he stepped out in a human form and you can see him in a human form? No, he's still the same wonderful Holy Spirit that fills all of eternity. But before he goes into the form, you don't comprehend him. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, when he steps out of the form, you've already seen him walk the earth in a human form. You've comprehended God. So in your understanding, God is molded into a human being called the Holy Ghost. So he is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost. He has become one individual spirit through the power of comprehension. So when we think of him, we see him through the eyes of our understanding as a personification of Jesus Christ, or the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is called the Spirit of the Son of God, even the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. So then, who is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what he is. It's the one and only great and mighty God. And there is salvation in none other name but the name of Jesus Christ. So when we ask the question, what is meant by one God? That is what is meant by one God. He is but one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength, and body. Israel does not believe in three gods. You can't convince Israel of three gods. They believe in one God because the Bible said salvation is of the Jews. But when you come to the Gentiles, you go back to the harlot church, you go back to the Catholic teachings and the Protestant teachings of Martin Luther and all the denominations that come out from Martin Luther. All of the religious activities of the day come from the Catholic church through Martin Luther down to the church ages. When you come to that, they teach three gods because the Catholic Church are the heathenistic people that knew not how to define the Holy Scriptures or interpret them when they killed out the Israelites and drove them out and refused to listen to the Bible scholars. They began to teach three gods because they didn't have no understanding. They still don't have any understanding of it today. And our people in this generation, they just accept the fact. They say, well, I believe it like that. You know, they'll get all heated up and they'll get all tore up. And they'll say, well, I don't believe it like that. My preacher said such and such in my denomination. And they don't have enough reasoning to go back and check it out according to history or go back and check it out according to the Bible or get in touch with God. They just take somebody's word for it and have a fuss to show their ignorance. You understand what I'm saying? But yet the same person will go to school and go to college and go to anything else to try to prove whether there ever was a George Washington or not. People show their ignorance in the most simple kind of way. But folks, let me tell you, God is one God. That's why the Bible says He's one God. Can I call Him two gods when the Bible said He is one God? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, it says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It said Jesus made in Himself twain. Two. What do you mean? He took two of them and made them one. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing three or Trinity except in your mind. God is one God. All right, now, when you say Trinity, all you're doing, you're talking about the time that they nailed Jesus to the tree. And if you knew anything about Revelation, I could go into it with you and show you how it was divided into a Trinity, into the minds of the people, and God did that they might not be saved. But it was done for the Christian that they might be saved, that in the end time they would know the truth, and Israel would become the head of the nation, and people would know there's one God, and that one God had one name, and His name is Jesus Christ. And there is none other name given unto heaven whereby men must be saved. And the Bible said there's salvation in none other name. Now, the Bible teaches that we are to repent of our sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that we might receive salvation or receive the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God into our heart, or the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of Christ, the hope of glory, and that if we don't receive His Spirit into our heart, we are none of His. We can join all the denominations, we can be as religious as we want to, we can fast and pray, we can do whatever we want to, but God said, if you don't have My Spirit, you are none of Mine. So then, it means that we must have the Spirit. Jesus said, I go away, I send the Spirit back. If I go away, I'll send you a comforter. He will come to you and abide with you. And when He comes, He will come in the name of Jesus. Even the Spirit of truth, God's Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because the world seeth Him not. That is, the world can't see Him. But through the mind of Christ, you can see Him. He is personified as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, even God. The world seeth Him not, therefore they cannot receive Him. But you receive Him because you see Him through the eyes of understanding. That is why the Bible says, repent, every one of you, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Little Bethlehemites, Catholics, repent, every one of you. Like the Catholic priest I talked to a few days back, and I told the Catholic priest, I said, you may be a priest. I said, you're one of the greatest learned men I've ever talked to. I said, you've been taught in Italy. You've been taught in Atlanta, Georgia. You've been taught in the big cities. I said, it's unbelievable, the knowledge that you've got. I said, but let me tell you something, brother priest. You better repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, or you will go to hell. And brother, he repented and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And now he's gone everywhere telling about it. Now see, it makes no difference, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, don't make no difference what it is. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says there is one baptism. Just one. What is that baptism? Here's where the dispute comes in. The dispute comes in like this. One baptism? Is that the baptism of fire? For the God said, I shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Is that the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is that baptism of water? Well, let's just look at it for a minute and see. First of all, let's examine one more thing before we approach it. The only way I know to answer that is to answer these other things. One faith, the Bible said. What kind of faith is that? Let's discuss that before we get to the baptismal part. One kind of faith. We say faith, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. Whereas, we look at it again and the other writer says that faith needs no works. So then we ask the question, what do you mean there's a number of kind of faiths? What kind of faith is he speaking of? Is he speaking of my faith where he said one faith, have faith in God? No, he wasn't speaking of that. Was he speaking of people that repent of their sins and have faith in God? No, he wasn't speaking of that. What was he speaking of? He was speaking like this. Paul said, seeing that ye are justified by the faith of Christ. Therefore, I say again, faith, the faith by which ye are sanctified, cleansed, purified, saved. For the Bible said God has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ. Even the faith of Christ by which you're sanctified. Then is he talking about my faith? The Bible said we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without works or without the deeds of the law. Can a man actually be saved by faith without works or without the deeds of the law? Indeed, he can. How is it then that when Paul said that we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, how do we answer in the sense of what James and the others said? For the writer said, know ye not that faith without works is dead, and that faith being alone cannot save you? See, so we see just a straight contradictory. That is, they are contradicting one another, or else there must be some kind of explanation. If Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is saved without works, lest any man should boast, it is the gift of God. And then the other writer says, know ye not that without works your faith is dead, and that faith being alone cannot save you? Are they not coming against one another? Are they not contrary to one another? Why then do they talk like that? Which one of those faiths then is the one faith? Or what are they talking about? Well, it's for sure that the dead faith wouldn't be the right one without the works. But you say, Brother Pike, the other faith you said don't require any works. Okay, the answer is this, the answer to it. See, there's nothing contradictory about it. There's nothing wrong about it. They're not contrary to one another. It's just that Paul is speaking of the faith of Jesus Christ. And James or the other writers are speaking of the faith of a human being. The faith of a human being without effort is dead, because he said, show me what you believe by what you do, because the child is known by his doings. If you believe in something, you will practice it. If you believe that that girl is to be your wife, you'll take it after if you're single. If you believe in killing, you'll go around doing it. If you believe in working, you'll work. If you believe in living right, you'll live right. So then your faith is shown by your works. And without your works, if you tell me that you believe in being a Christian and you don't act like a Christian or live like a Christian, you are a liar, because you don't believe in it. You believe in whatever I see you do. So the writer said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Whatever I'm doing proves what I believe. That's why that the religious world is going to be lost. They're going to be lost because they say that they believe in Christianity. and in the life of Christ. And to be a Christian means Christ-like. They were first called Christians in Antioch because they acted like Christ. But the church world doesn't act like Christ. It doesn't walk like Christ. It doesn't do like Christ. It couldn't be a Christian. All right, now let's look at the other faith. If that faith is not the faith, the one faith, could it be that the other faith is the one faith? Most assuredly it is. Because the other faith is not a human faith, it is God's faith. It is not your faith, it is Christ's faith. You follow me? It is Christ's faith. The one faith is Christ's faith, the faith by which ye are sanctified. It has nothing to do with your works. It has nothing to do with you. It doesn't matter what you do. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. God saves you by what Jesus believed. Jesus walked right, talked right, lived right, done the right things. His faith in the Father never wavered at one time. And God saved me by that unwavering, unwavering faith. And today I am sanctified forever. I am perfected forever. For the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ. Paul said, the faith by which ye are sanctified. Therefore, I have the faith of Christ. This faith is given to me. It is imparted to me. God accepted Jesus Christ's faith in my behalf. I am clean and holy and spotless. I am covered with the blood of the Lamb. I am saved without any works that I can do, anything that I can say, anything that pertains to me. I am saved strictly by the faith of Jesus Christ that God accepted as my righteousness in my behalf through Jesus' work for His own glory. Therefore, we are His workmanship in Christ. We are complete in Him. We are predestinated in His own works and faith. I am therefore sealed by the Holy Spirit forever. Now, so we see the one faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, we could say a lot about that, and we have it on tape where we detail it a little more. The next thing is the question that Mac asked, and I had to go through the others to preach a sermon to get to this to where you can understand it. What about the one baptism? This is another great dispute in the world today. It's another great issue because it is a doctrinal thing. Some believe that you should baptize by taking a baby and sprinkling the baby. Some believe that grown-ups should be sprinkled. Some do not believe that you have to be baptized at all. Some believe that you're baptized by a preacher taking you and putting you down into the water and saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Some believe that a preacher should take you and put you down into the water by immersion, and baptize you by saying, I baptize you in Jesus. Some believe that they're to put you under the water, fully under the water, and say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Some believe that you must go down and they must say, I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is right? What is the right baptism? We've discussed this, the Greek approach of the word baptismo, or to plunge under. That is, first of all, I believe in putting a man down under the water, because that's what the word baptism means. Get him down under the water. Cover him up. He's supposed to be covered up. Why do you believe that, Brother Pye? Because it is a barrel. Who would take a dead man and sprinkle a little dust on him? No man would do that. Why, we'd have the stinkiest place. If everybody that had died, we had them laying all around here and through Tennessee and everywhere else, and the priest just went by and sprinkled a little dust on them, or the preacher, think what a terrible, terrible thing that would be. So then if it is a burial, then you must cover the person up. The Navy buries in the water. The sea is a grave. The Bible gives it as a grave. And the Bible said we are baptized with Christ. And we have put on Christ. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And the Bible said if you appear before the judgment seat of God, or if you come into that wedding supper, if you don't have on the body of Jesus Christ, that is, if you're not dead to the old you and buried, if you haven't buried the old you and the one that's living, if that one is not the bone of bone and flesh of flesh of the Son of God, he said you don't have the wedding garment. See, no longer you that's living, but it's Jesus. That's the garment that you put on. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You're his body. You're a new man. The other man, the firstborn, is buried, dead, gone. What did you do with him? You put him in the water. All right, let's look at it for just a minute. Now, when you put him in the water, what did you do with him? You buried him. Why did you bury him? Because the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed, that is by body, indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion. In that Jesus dies, say to yourself, I'm dead now. I've repented of my sins. I've killed out the flesh. I'm dead. I'm dead to the first birth. Jesus died for my sins. He was delivered for my offenses. He went there to die for me, not for himself. He wasn't sinful. To keep me from having to go there and die, he died for me. I'm dead now. As far as my first birth, my natural man, I'm dead. Reckon yourselves therefore to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus Christ. So he was delivered for my offenses. Now, if I am put into the water and the preacher takes me down there, why can the preacher take me down there? Because God ordained that the preacher bury me. The Bible said whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. People who get married, a justice of the peace cannot marry a person. Though they do it every day, the people are not legally married. Only the preacher can marry people. God says what God hath joined together, let no man set asunder. See, only God joins people together through the ministry. That's why when Adam and Eve become man and wife, God did it. He was there. He performed the marriage. He is the one that's done it down through the years. That's why he said you should leave your father for the wife, and the wife likewise for the husband. You're one flesh. Now, when we look at this, why does the preacher take the initiative or the liberty to feel that he is somebody special? That he's got the right to take a person down to the river or some pool and baptize them? It is because God said unto the preacher, Jesus said, as my Father, that is the Holy Spirit, as he has sent me, so send I the preacher, or so send I you. Whosoever sins ye shall remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins ye shall retain shall be retained. Whatever you remit, whatever you retain. Therefore, as a minister, I have the power to take away your sins, and they'll be taken away eternally. Or I have the power to bind your sins to you, and you'll never get loose from them. I have the power to do that as a minister. Somebody would say, you mean a preacher's got the power to do that? No, we've got a whole flock of them running all over the land. Women, men, and all kind. They certainly don't. But I'm talking about a true God-man, a minister that's sent from God. He has the power to remit your sins. He has the power to bind your sins to you. People out of seminary that's called preachers don't have no power at all. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So then he said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit, they shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they shall be retained. So then I am dead with Jesus by baptism. buried with him. Buried with him, put under the water. And the preacher is there for this purpose. He has the power to remit my sins. And Peter said, be baptized for the remitting of those sins. Be baptized for remission. Baptism is for the remitting of sins. Baptism is the remission of your sins. That's why the Lord spoke concerning Noah. Said, you're not saved by putting away the filth of the flesh. Just because you don't smoke and don't chew and don't go to the dances and don't go to the rock and roll parties. He said, that has nothing to do with your salvation. You're not saved by the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You're saved by the answer of a good conscience toward God. Speaking of Noah, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. He said, when those people were saved by water. Therefore, salvation is not in quitting the drink. Salvation's not in eats and drinks. It's not in smoking and chewing. It's not in do's and don'ts. It's not in ritualistics. Salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said salvation is in none other name but in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said salvation shall be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem, where he was born, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, even over here where Brother Pike is preaching tonight, that salvation, when Brother Pike preaches it, shall be preached in the name of the Son of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when I go down to the water, what do I do? The Bible said repent. That's the first thing the people must do. Lest you repent, you perish. The next thing is to be baptized. Why? Paul said you're baptized for the dead. The dead to be baptized in Jesus' name. It is Jesus that died for you. You're buried in his death. Because he become you that you might become him. So you're buried in his death. To be buried in his death, you're buried in his name. So you go down in his death, down in his name, underneath the water. Thus you are buried with Jesus and your sins are buried and gone. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. And Jesus shed his blood as the innocent lamb to take away your sins. But ye are not heir to that life which is in the blood, that God life of the resurrection, the new life. You are not heir to that life or heir to that salvation except through the name of Jesus, the one that shed that blood. And so then we're made relative to that blood through his name. There is no remission of sin in the word Father, nor the word Son, nor the word Holy Ghost. I say this again. If there is salvation in the word Father, why did Jesus die? Because the land is full of fathers. If there is salvation in the word Son, why did Jesus die? Many sons in the land. If there's salvation in the word Holy Ghost, why did Jesus die? Because they spoke back there of the Holy Spirit way back years ago. In the Old Testament, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost moved upon them. Though the Holy Ghost was not yet given as a gift of eternal life, the Bible said it moved upon them and spoke of the death of Jesus. Why did Jesus then die? There is no salvation in the word Holy Ghost. There is no salvation in the word Son. There is no salvation in the word Father. There is salvation in none other name but the name of Jesus, which is the name through which the great Holy Spirit comes. Not just the title Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost coming, but the great Holy Spirit, the life, God himself, the Spirit of truth, comes through the name of Jesus. For the Bible said, when he comes, he'll come in my name. Therefore, he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, that you may receive this great Spirit of truth that's coming in my name, or the Holy Ghost, for the gift is unto you, and unto your children, and Brother Pike, and all the rest, even as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So then, Cornelius opened the door, they were baptized in Jesus' name. That was the Gentiles. Peter spoke to the Jews that were baptized in Jesus' name. 3,000 was added to the church. Down at Samaria, Down there, Philip preached baptism in the name of Jesus. The Bible said they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Up at the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul preached baptism in Jesus' name. The great, wonderful overseer of the church of today, the Gentile church, preached baptism in Jesus' name, and they were baptized in Jesus' name. And the other thing of baptizing by saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, it comes from the harlot church. It is a Catholic doctrine. It came through Martin Luther and down through the great whorish church of the daughters of the mother harlot. And there is no salvation when they baptize you that way. Your sins have not been remitted. And when they said that they baptized you in the name of Jesus, and that they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, I baptize you in the name of the Son, I baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost, they lied to you. It was an evil, undermined thing that they did. They lied to you because they didn't baptize you in the name of the Father, and they didn't baptize you in the name of the Son, and they didn't baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost. Because Matthew said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Jesus told them that that name was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We've got tapes here that proves that his name should be called Everlasting Father. A son shall be born, his name shall be called Jesus. So if his name, which is Everlasting Father, is Jesus, that is the Father's name. If a son is to be born, his name is to be called Jesus, that is the Son's name. When the Holy Ghost come, he shall come in my name. If he comes in Jesus' name, that is his name. They are one God, therefore they have one name. It is one faith by that one God that sanctifies us, remission of sin in that one name by baptism into water, burial into his death, and by his blood. And there is one baptism which is in the name of Jesus Christ, that when we are baptized in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit baptism, comes into our heart, and the blood, which is the fire that burns up the chaff, is the spilt blood of Jesus Christ. John said, when he comes, he shall baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Some people run around the country, they got out books and all kind of preaching that God's got a special kind of fire, that it's the Holy Ghost and a special kind of fire, and they preach a baptism of Holy Ghost and fire. But let me tell you something, the real fire of God, the real Holy Ghost of God, it is in the name of Jesus, and the fire is the blood that was spilt at Calvary. The blood that was spilt at Calvary is the fire that takes away your sins, and without that fire, there is no consummation of the evil. Without that fire, there is no consummation of the evil. That is the fire that takes it away from the soul. It is the Holy Ghost that takes it away from your spirit. It is the water in the name of Jesus that takes it away from your body. Therefore, Paul said, I seek to present you blameless body, soul, and spirit. One baptism, which is the three in one. One God, which is the three in one. So then, when the Holy Ghost comes, he comes in the name, just exactly like we said concerning the Spirit of Truth. Now, this is the one baptism. This is where all the problems of the world is. All of the religions of the world, hundreds of religions, all of them is hung up on this one thing, because they do not see and they do not understand, and they're too stubborn and too rebellious with their traditions of fathers and grandmothers and grandchildren and people out of seminary that's called preachers. They're too stubborn to listen to the word of God and let every man be a liar and believe what God said about it, so they die by the millions and go to hell because they refuse to receive remission of sin in his name. Now, how do you understand what I'm saying? You know one good thing I like about preaching the gospel, folks? And that is what God said to you, he said to Brother Pike. And what he said to Brother Pike, he said to the people sitting on the bench. And he said, what he said to me, he said, what I say to one, I say unto all. I say to the Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, and all of them What I say to one, I say to all of them. And you can believe in the day of judgment when God brings us before the great judgment bar that we, all of us, are going to answer to one God for one faith, for one baptism, according to the one doctrine, which is called the doctrine of Christ or the apostolic doctrine, wherein 3,000 people was added to the church at one time on the day of Pentecost. That is what we're going to answer for. We can make all kind of excuses and say, well, we didn't understand, or we didn't know, or we don't know what you're talking about, or whatever, but it won't do any good, because that will be the end of the trail. You love the Lord? I know somebody thinks, well, you could have ended a long time ago for my cause, Brother Pike. You could have left a long time ago for my cause. So don't wait for me to end, just ease on out. I'm talking to the people that wanted to hear it. There's some people that wanted to hear that. Did you know it? Hot, uncomfortable, but there's still some people that wanted to hear it. And I say this, again, I repeat it to you, not saying those things to be arrogant, but to be thorough. See, these things go on tape. And when I talk about them, just because somebody gets up and walks out, which happens all the time in my ministry, everybody else's ministry. As a matter of fact, I've heard of Jimmy Swaggart getting so upset, it just tore him up so bad that he blasted some of them because they got out, up and walked out of his services. But they're going to do it anyway. They're going to do it. The devil has people, whereas in this case, I don't think it's that way. But he has people that purposely, he sends them into the services so that when you get in the middle of a sermon, they'll get up in their carnal minds and walk out to discourage and to reproach what's being said. He does that to kill interest. It's the work of the devil and the sons of Satan. But that doesn't take away from this great, wonderful wealth and eternal life and Godship. Not at all, because of their ignorance. They'll go to hell like everybody else. Now, I say these things because they go on tape. They're making tapes of these. These things go on the radio and they go around the different parts of the world as well as the United States. And I have to be thorough in them when I'm teaching or when I'm talking. When I'm doing these things, I have to be thorough because people are going to scrutinize them, and there's many hundreds and millions of people that want the truth. And if in my teachings they hear the truth, they don't care about the priest, or they don't care about denominations or traditions or whatever. They are concerned about their soul and whether they're going to hell or heaven, and they're going to do what they know is right if they hear the voice of God and they see the truth. Whereas godliness is a great mystery, the Bible said. And Paul said the mystery of the gospel. Though many men are preaching it throughout the world, they don't understand. And many people are dying and going to hell because they don't have the revelation of the mystery. They're on the payroll. They're the preacher. They're some people's pastor. But they don't understand, and people are going to hell. It is a mystery. And the man of God has to be able to understand mysteries. Paul said, I'm a steward of the mystery. So then, speaking of the mystery of gospel, the mystery of the faith, Paul called it one faith, one God, one baptism. These things we got on tape, people that hear it, some will resent it, some will criticize, because some people are brute beasts. They were made for the purpose to be taken and burned, and they will go to hell for their criticism. Speaking evil of dignities, being vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds, sons of the devil, daughters of the devil. But not so with you. Ye are daughters of the Lord. Ye are sons of God. Ye love the truth. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Free from what? Sin, death, worry, poverty, heartaches, problems. God will set you free by hearing the truth and believing in it. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your patience. I know it's hot. I'm sweating up here. It's uncomfortable. Folks, Calvary was an uncomfortable place. With the nails in his hands and the thorns in his brow. His feet bleeding. His back bruised and broken and torn. It was an uncomfortable place. But he did it for you. Hell is an uncomfortable place. But the multitude, as the Bible said, shall be turned into hell. Have you ever stopped to think about that? It didn't say two or three. It said the multitude shall be turned into hell. Multitudes in the valley of decision. They shall be turned into hell. Religious people. David said, I've seen them come to the church, the place of the holy. And I've seen them leave and go away, he said. And then I looked and I saw them turned into hell. But we don't have to go to hell. All we got to do is believe the truth, repent of our sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's the way the Bible teaches it. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, you need to be baptized. You say, but I've been baptized, Brother Pike. I know that. The people in the 19th chapter of Acts, they had been baptized, I say again, by John in the same river, same place perhaps, that Jesus was baptized. By the same man who baptized Jesus. But it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. You say, why do you say it wasn't good enough, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said when they heard Paul's preaching, your overseer's preaching, the one that set up this last day church, the Gentiles, when they heard your overseer's preaching, the Bible said they were rebaptized. You mean it's necessary to do it over? They were rebaptized because it wasn't the water that takes away sin. It was the name. Paul said, John baptized you under repentance and believe on the name when it comes. And they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin and then to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, begin to speak in tongues and begin to prophesy. So then, a lot of these great supposedly Bible scholars and teachers, seminary men that consider Peter to be ignorant, they look to Paul and they say, Paul, the great scholar, the great knowledgeable one, the Pauline epistles, and they try to act dignified in a different sort of a way and bring some kind of special dignity into the church, as if to say God's dignity is not good enough. So they lean to Paul, being ignorant and not realizing that the same Paul is contrary to what they're preaching, and in the day of judgment will condemn them at the judgment because they crossed his doctrine. The same Paul that wrote the Pauline epistles, this great knowledgeable man, taught to be baptized in Jesus' name is to put on Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized again, folks. And that in the name of Jesus. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that my precious loved ones was baptized the other way and they've gone on to heaven. I don't mean to dispute with you, but you don't know nothing at all of that. You can't prove a word of that. You don't know nothing like that. You say, I know that. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know. You just got it in your mind that you feel sure they did. I trust that they did. I trust that you're right. But you don't know nothing. You can't prove nothing. You don't know nothing. You can't see beyond the grave. They may be in hell screaming right now. I trust that they're not. I trust that my loved ones are not in hell screaming, the ones that moved on. But I can't prove nothing. If they obeyed the word of God, they're saved by faith. And if they did, they went to heaven because they received the spirit of the word, the spirit of truth. And if they did not, they are in hell tonight, whether they're your loved ones or my loved ones. And regardless to how you look at it, that's the way it is. You might say, well, I believe this way and this is the way it's going to be. And I'll die this way. If you do, you'll go to hell. Say, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter what you believe. Your believing has nothing to do with it. Someone says, I believe I'm going to heaven. Your believing has nothing to do with it. Your believing is human believing. It is belief that it must have works. And the works it must have is the works of Jesus Christ, which is by the word. The word said, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. That is the works of Jesus Christ. In Revelation it said, repent, do your first works over. So, you do what you want to, but too late. When you lift up your eyes in the flames of hell, you'll know that the word of God is real and that you should have obeyed it and that you should have honored it, but it'll be too late to change your mind and make restitution. So let me say to you like Peter did in the first church, repent, every one of you. How many would that be? You, me, them, they, all of us together. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sin. What for? So you can receive the gift of His Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the wonderful Holy Spirit, that you might have eternal life. For if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. For when He comes, He'll come in His name. Okay, let's sing this. Into my heart, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Is Jesus in your heart? He can come in. If you repent of your sins, He can come in. You say, but Brother Pike, you said that I must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. If I refuse to do that, He won't come in. If I do that afterwards, He would come in. That is true. But it is a true fact that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will come in right now. He did down there at Cornelius's. Before he was ever baptized, somebody said, aha, there it is. But when he come in, you know what he done? He caused them to be baptized in his lovely name. Seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, can anybody forbid water that they should not be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And they were. And they were. So then he'll come into your heart, but don't be fooled. You say, well, he come into my heart and I ain't never been baptized in Jesus' name and ain't planning to. Don't be a fool. He didn't come into your heart. The mere fact you think like that, he didn't come into your heart. You've got strong delusions to believe a lie and be damned. He didn't come into your heart. You might have got a religious experience. You might have gotten a brainstorm. You might feel like everything's all right because you feel like everything's all right. But just feeling like everything's all right isn't all right. It's when God says it's all right that it's all right. And God doesn't say it's all right unless you're in line with the Bible and the Word of God. So then if the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you can be sure of one thing. You'll be baptized in Jesus' name. Maybe not yesterday and today. Maybe not tomorrow, but you will be, and that in time. Say, well, what if time runs out and I don't get baptized? It's a good proof you never did get it. But you'll be baptized. You say, why do you say that, Brother Pike? Have you got any Bible for it? The Bible says that when He comes, when He, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth has come, the Spirit of Christ, that He will lead you into all truth. And what is truth? What is truth? John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you, Jesus. He said, thus suffer to be so now, John. He said, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all truth and all righteousness. Therefore, baptism, the part of the truth and righteousness. When He comes, that same Jesus, that same Holy Spirit that spoke right there as the personification of the Son of God will also take you to that same water hole, as we say, and plunge you under in His lovely name. all truth and all righteousness. And if you don't go that route, you can be sure you didn't get it. You never did get it. You say, well, I feel good. That's fine. I'm glad to know that. A lot of people felt good today. Tomorrow they were in hell, as we say. Your feelings don't have nothing to do with it. You say, but Brother Pike, I think. Well, that's good. Maybe that's good for whatever you believe, but that don't have nothing to do with it. A lot of people thought that. They're still in hell. It's what the Word of God says. There is no faith unto salvation aside from the word faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. What you think is not faith. What somebody told you is not faith. What you feel is not faith. What you want to do and want to believe is not faith. Your believing is not faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And that's the only salvation faith that there is. And you're saved by faith. Which faith cometh by the hearing of the Word? That is, you hear the Word, you honor it, you obey it. 3,000 heard Peter preach. They believed what he said in the Word, which was faith. And they were baptized as proof that they believed and added unto the church. I want you to slip your hands up with me again. Close our eyes together. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Allen to come up here. While we're praying with you tonight, think these things over, beloved friend. I love you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. I'm called to preach the gospel. That's all I'm doing. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what God said. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but at the judgment you'll stand. You'll hear that same word again speak to you. That is God. In the beginning was the Word. When he sits on the throne, he'll be the Word. Today he speaks to you. He's the Word. He's the Word to every generation, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he said in the beginning is the same today when man speaks it. What he speaks today through man, instrumentality, human instrumentality, it'll be the same when he sits on the throne. It'll still be the Word speaking to you. Will you honor the Word and become the subject of the Word? And become born of the Word. Jesus said, my Word is Spirit. God is a Spirit. The Spirit Word made flesh. Will you then believe the Word? Accept the Word? Be born of the Word of the Spirit? To have eternal life.